Hi, team. Welcome to the Life and Safety Podcast. This podcast is for you if you're a safety professional interested in the safety field or just looking for a few safety tips and a good story or two. Your host, Jimmy Rios, has stories and advice on everything from CPR and safety training to flaming lizards and favorite TV shows. Are you ready? Because we're ready. Let's go.
What's happening? Welcome to Life and Safety with Jimmy. Today, our very first podcast, our very first guest, our newest employee at Life Safety, Megan, with a super long last name. I'm not even going to try to butcher. So today's topic is why you wanted to become an EMT. So Meg, tell us why you wanted to be an EMT.
It's actually a bit of a windy story. I first had no intention of at all going into the medical field. My sister was an ER nurse growing up, so I heard a lot of stories, and I was always interested in that. And of course, I had a lot of medical problems growing up, but I never considered myself going into the medical field. And then out of high school, I was just looking for a job to fill the time. And a friend of a friend just finished a job at a chiropractic.
Physical therapy?
Yeah, thank you. Physical therapy clinic. And they were looking for people, and so she recommended me, and I got the job. And I found out that I really liked helping people with, injuries and helping them get better, but I didn't like the long time frame of physical therapy because it takes months and months, if not longer, to help the people. And I really liked, getting them fixed right then, such as in emergency medicine. So from there, I tried EMT school, and that's sort of how it fell into my lap.
Very cool. Very cool. What do you think of the EMT job, workforce, things of that nature? I know you're new to it, and you don't have a lot of experience, but what do you think of the hiring process, the testing process? What's good, what's bad as a fresh new EMT coming out?
It's a good question. I think it's kind of, from my perspective, it's kind of hit or miss depending on which EMT school you go to. Some have better reputations, and I didn't realize that going into it. I happened to go to a school with a pretty good reputation and some really good teachers, but I only found out after already starting school that different schools have different reputations. That wasn't something I even knew to look for when applying to schools. I just chose the one that's closest to my house. So my school got me in with a lot of interviews for a lot of different companies. And I ended up interviewing and planning on working at Royal Ambulance. They have a lot of, locations. They seem to be a good group of people. Unfortunately, I didn't end up working there because some health stuff took me out of the workforce. But
unfortunately, fortunately for me, you're here.
Yes. But, from as far as getting right up until the hiring process, it all seemed to be pretty smooth. I came into the workforce right when COVID was starting to die down. There was more in-person things, but COVID was still a pretty big thing to be on the lookout for, so there was a lot of openings in the EMT world. There's definitely a need for a lot more EMTs than we had, so it was most companies were hiring and most companies were willing to give a decent salary or at least a good bonus for signing on just because there weren't enough people to hire. I'm not sure if there's been enough people to start filling that back up since COVID. I don't think so, but at least after COVID, there's definitely a lot of job openings.
Very cool. Very cool. Can you speak a little bit about the process of getting certified, licensed, and all that stuff to get hired on as a DMT?
Yeah, that was a doozy. So first you have to go through EMT schooling at a location. I went to San Jose City College, and I went through the program there. So you have to take an EMR course, and then you take an EMT course, and you get a certification from there. To even be allowed to take the course, you have to get certified in CPR. through my school required an American Heart Association CPR card. But, and then I got my certificate of finishing the class or the course through San Jose City. From there, I had to get my NREMT certification. So I had to take the NREMT, which is an online exam that a governing body of all of the U.S. And you have to take an exam and pass that. Once you get that passed, you can then, you're certified at the national level. Then you have to go to the California level and get certified in the state. And then once you're certified in the state, you go get hired at a company and they certify you for the county that you're going to be working in. So it's definitely, that was not something I was prepared for. It was a very long process. You had to get a live scan, so the fingerprinting. I actually had an issue with my fingerprinting. I went to a UPS store originally, and they fucked up the fingerprinting. And it was denied by the FBI just because of the quality of the fingerprinting.
Which what are you trying to hide, kid?
Ugh, got a past, you know. but I had to get re-fingerprinted at, I think it went to a county office the second time just because I wanted to go straight to the source. But I had a bunch of paperwork because I was denied the first time. And it was just a long process that I didn't realize how many steps there were to it to actually get certified.
Yeah, no.
And then obviously once you get... I got to that stage where I had a company that was ready to hire me, and then they have their own tests that you have to do, including a lift test, which is where you load a gurney with a certain amount of weight on it in and out of the ambulance. You can't see me, but I'm a very small female human, so I spent a few months with a personal trainer working out and getting extra muscle and working to pass the lift test. I did not pass the first time. And then I got diagnosed with a heart condition, actually, before I could go back and retest. But after I retested, if I passed, I would go, and then I would go through New Hire Academy, which is a week-long, usually a week-long process at the company, where they teach you all of their processes and all of their procedures, and make sure that your school trained you up right. And then you have a certain amount of time riding on the ambulance where a higher level person follows you and checks things off on the checkboard, making sure that you're not messing things up. So it's definitely, you have to go through a lot of checkpoints to get through.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Megan, for sharing your journey and your story with us. Welcome to Life Safety. We love having you here. We appreciate you. And to all of you new listening to our brand new podcast, thank you very much for joining us, and look forward to finding us in anywhere you find podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Life and Safety Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and that you learned something new. If you did, we'd love to hear about it. So drop us a comment, review, or even a like or subscribe, and we'll be totally stoked. If you're looking for more information about Life Safety Associates, you can find us on the web at lifesafety.com and on socials at Life Safety Associates. Stay safe, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Life and Safety with Jimmy Rios.